Come with us down the rabbit hole.
The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
As we explore the odd and esoteric.
If my answers frighten you, then you should cease asking scary questions.
This is the AU Radio Underground Files.
Underground Files.
Good evening, creepies and crawlies. It's time for the only show that revels in the spookier side of love. Can't get a date tonight because every lovely lady you meet doesn't want to talk about the JFK assassinations for 3 straight hours? Well, that's all right. She just can't hang. Come sit with us at the bottom of the rabbit hole. Pour yourself something sweet as we bring you the Underground Files.
JFK did it.
Next week on the Underground Files.
No, for real. He was on the grassy knoll. Shot himself.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
Again, next week on the Underground Files.
Talked about time travel. It's a thing.
Okay.
Across from me is a man that once confused crop circles for crop dusting, and he's never quite been the same since. It's Corey.
It's funny. I still picture myself just wandering through a cornfield, just
killing all the corn.
And they're just falling down, and I'm like, let's make a pattern.
Just like bebopping through the cornfield, just
eating like a bowl of beans as you go.
Yeah, out of the can like a hobo. I've got a little bindle, like a napkin on a stick.
Oh God,
just carrying my beans, roaming the cornfields, farting.
You got no shirt on, but overall.
Yeah. You got to wear the uniform.
She once told me she was planning on dyeing her hair red, and as is tradition, I immediately challenged her to a duel to maintain my place at the top of the redhead pecking order, at least when Jason's wife Erin isn't around. It's Hannah.
I still maintain I will dye my hair.
And I will still fight you when Erin isn't around.
It's fair.
She is top ginger.
Yep.
To my left.
Where's Jason in that ranking?
No, redheaded women.
Oh, it's only redheaded
women. No, it's two different leagues.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
it's like the Oscars.
Sexist, I'm down.
To my left is the best Marilyn Monroe impersonator this side of the Cascades, or at least he would be if he got rid of the beard. It's Travis at the controls.
Hi. I still maintain the beard helps.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you've seen him as Marilyn.
Yeah, his lips popped, right? With the salt and pepper rolling around out, you know, like.
That was the best.
You were a sexy guy.
That was the best right. Happy birthday, yeah. Mr. President I've ever seen.
Yeah. It was really good.
It was really good.
Is that photo up on our Instagram?
No, it is on the cafe's Facebook.
Oh, yeah,
though.
That's right. We should share that video again just because it's wonderful.
I'm Rue McClanahan and Danny DeVito's secret love child that they're both ashamed of, Katie from the podcast, and this is episode 20. They let me do 20 episodes of this.
So now I've got this horrible vision in my head of Rue McClanahan and Danny DeVito on a couch.
That's exactly the point.
And then you just crawl out of the back of the couch like Danny DeVito did in that one episode of It's Always Sunny. Just
ew. Well, on that note, we're going to be talking about pervy ghosts this episode, everybody.
It's a fine way to start.
Right. Beautiful, butter smooth segue. Everybody loves a good ghost stories. God, squirrely Dan. Everybody loves a good ghost story, and these are going to be some of the more sensual and salacious of...
Light a candle. Get a glass of wine.
One more word in there, and you could have gotten some alliteration going on.
Shut up. So...
That worked.
We actually talked about a pervy ghost, believe a couple months ago on AU Radio, or no, actually on Underground Files a couple episodes ago. We talked about a woman whose name is Amethyst Realm. Anybody?
Yeah, sounds like a My Little Pony.
Right? Just names Amethyst Realm. She is a woman who has dated and hooked up with over 200 ghosts. And is now engaged to one.
Oh, ghost dating service.
So this woman, she began dating ghosts when she was caught cheating on her living fiancé by sleeping. How do I put this?
The article I says she had sex with 20 ghosts.
Oh, 20?
Not 200.
200 sounds better.
I read
it. Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story, Corey.
So she was cheating on her living fiance with a ghost, and her future living fiance caught her, and he dumped her. So, how does that conversation go? Because he catches her in bed with a ghost. How does...
Didn't he see a silhouette through the window?
Yes.
Okay.
He saw a silhouette of a man.
I still maintain closet or under the bed.
So there's an interesting part to the story that we haven't covered yet. It's the fact that she met the ghost on a business trip to Australia.
Yeah.
And he followed her.
How
home.
Does that happen?
He followed her from Australia.
I just picture hanging out in this like sleazy ghost bar, like late at night after the conference.
So he's
like,
he slides over an empty shot glass.
You just see it move down the bar by itself.
So apparently, she was on a British talk show. She actually
Professor Phil.
They asked her, "How do you meet these ghosts that you date?" And she says, "They just kind of show up in my room and then proceed to hook up with her."
Her name is also the name of a Les Claypool song, just so you know. Google told me that.
Amethyst Dream.
That was part of the plot of Twilight.
Oh, just showing up
just
in one's room.
Showing up in somebody's room.
Looking at her picture, though, she is very British.
But she's not... Like, in the least offensive way possible, she's not weird looking. She looks really normal. She's kind of cute.
She does not appear to be somebody who I'd be like, yeah, I believe that you hook up with ghosts.
You don't look like someone whose name is Amethyst Realm. So they asked her, because she's planning on marrying a ghost. And they asked, well, like, what about, like, children? Are you going to, like, adopt or anything? Because you can't physically have... children with a ghost. To which she responds, well, actually, that's not entirely true. I've been doing a lot of research on phantom pregnancies.
That's not how any of this works.
I gotta read you a couple of quotes from this woman that I just she's a gift to us all.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'd not had a phantom fling for a while, as I was away on business, and starting a new relationship was the last thing on my mind. Then one day, while I was walking through the bush, enjoying nature, suddenly I felt this incredible energy. A new lover had arrived.
That's what all of the women who claim to be in, like, consensual relationships with ghosts are like, they're like, well, what does that, like, feel like? And, because you can't, like, wrap your arms around a ghost. And all of them say, you know, you just feel this weight. You feel this person on you. It's more than anything. It's an energy.
That's a symptom of a heart attack. You should go talk to the doctor about it.
Oh, so apparently she convinces this nameless specter. She doesn't know his name.
No.
To come with her. Back to Britain from Australia.
Because what's he doing?
Well, he's probably returning to the homeland. I'm guessing that he was a criminal sent from Britain to Australia back in the day.
Yeah.
That's all speculation. But apparently, they joined the Mile High Club on the flight back.
Yep. So, did you just wait... just in your seat, or did you...
No, she said they went to the bathroom.
Okay, that was my question, or if you were just writhing around in your seat next to some poor old lady, just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, can you not? Oh!
Can you...
Like, I'm trying to enjoy my salmon.
So the main source...
And I'm trying to enjoy my spirits, thank you.
Oh!
Good job,
this
Hannah.
This chick over here is ruining Grown Ups 2 for me.
So my main source of research for this is a lovely book that actually Sarah brought to me, Sexual Hauntings Through the Ages by Colin Waters. It is a wonderful, wonderful read. It's a little anthology piece on just ghost stories of spirits just getting a little freaky. And it's terrifying. And some of them are fun, and some of them are lighthearted, and some of them are real, real scary. So in my research, I have found five different types of ghosts that are open to the idea of spirit and living relations. The first one is a... we've all seen this in different ghost stories and everything. They're known as ladies in white. Ladies in white aren't necessarily super sexual. They're more romantic. They're very damsel in distressy. They're seen as really sad, very angelic. They're just pretty ladies in white dresses. Most of their backstories is they are a wronged lover, or their lover died, or a lover killed them, or anything like tragic backstory, and now they're super sad. They are always seen as beautiful when they're trying to entice you. They are very inviting. They're very, like I said, very damsel in distressy. You will see them standing on the edge of bridges or standing on the side of the road in need of like somebody to pick them up. One thing that I found is they are really... Supernatural actually did an episode on this. They are really big into killing unfaithful men. So they will try to seduce men that they know to be in a relationship or to be married. And whenever they say yes, she just turns into an ugly hag and kills them.
Yeah. I'm sorry. No, everything about this is just, I'm a video game person.
Yeah.
The Witcher 3 is one of my favorite video games of all time,
right?
And there's these wraiths in the game that are like some of the most terrifying monsters that you fight, and they're just ladies in white. They're just, but they're horrible and terrifying looking, but they just wear white dresses.
Yeah, no, that's what this is.
Yeah,
so just be glad that you're not married and they're trying to not seduce you.
Yeah.
The other one is the one that I'm kind of a big fan of is the ladies in red.
That's just red.
No, the lady in red is basically me. They are somewhat similar to ladies in white. They are a lot more seductive, a lot more like salacious. They're also a lot more angry. They are the bad girls of ghostdom. So yeah, me. They are jilted lovers. Again, a lot of mistresses that were trying to get their boyfriends to leave their wives, all that stuff. Women of vanity. So if you're like, God, this is me, and I'm just now realizing that, and I'm really upset about it.
Just identified what your ghost will be.
Yes. No. I. Okay. Yep. Yep. Oh man, red clashes with my orange hair. Dang it. They are also a lot of the time murdered prostitutes.
So, how many sightings of ladies in red were there in Whitechapel?
A lot, actually. Like, way, probably more than, I mean, it doesn't say specifically in the book, but in independent research, I have found that those are actually really common in, like, not only Asia, but anywhere else in the world. It is a lot of the time in Whitechapel in London,
yeah.
Which is scary. So they are also really big.
Jack.
They are really big into... They're also really big into killing men, so that's fun. But they do it a little bit differently. They're much less damsels in distress and much more like temptresses. They're not like, oh, I need help or anything. They're very like, hey, baby, how's it going? And then once you start making out with them, they turn ugly and go, blah, blah, and then just rip your throat out, which
again,
I
don't want to talk about the 90s.
I had some bad relationships, okay? The other one are echoes. So we talked about this a couple episodes ago where actually really early in the series where we talked about how ghosts, there are some spirits that aren't even necessarily like conscious entities that even know that they're dead and even like they have passed on. But it's just kind of like the residual spirits or residual spirituality of a person just going through the motions that they did when they were alive.
An imprint of a thing.
Yes, exactly. So this actually happens a lot of the time in old hotels. So if you go to like an old hotel that is haunted, that used to be a saloon, you will see ladies of the evening walking the halls trying to get men to pay for them. Then you will also see, just in regular hotels, you will see gentlemen trying to woo women and sometimes even proposing. They don't know, it's not even that person isn't necessarily there. They're just going through the motions. They don't interact with anybody, nothing. They just kind of show up sometimes.
Well, and we've touched on echoes before. It's right. Just residual energy forced to repeat the same scenario.
Right.
You know.
The super scary one that I found was poltergeists. This is kind of where it gets dark.
Yeah.
they range anywhere from when it comes to being a pervy ghost, they are the butt pinchers, and the violent. They will let out violent gusts of wind to lift up women's skirts. They will just openly slap them when they're sleeping. They will say gross things into their ears. And this is where I want to bring out a new argument that Mr. Colin Waters brought to me about the Bell Witch.
before we dive into the Bell Witch,
yeah,
because I know that bit of the topic is going to take a second.
Yeah,
I want to talk about the one I discovered.
Oh, yes. Okay. Okay.
Which, doing some research for the show, I was introduced to an awesome, and by awesome, I mean horrible, horrible beast known as Popobawa.
Popobawa.
So Popobawa is the name of an evil spirit that lives in Tanzania. Mm-hmm. In Zanzibar, and he is known as the skeptic raping demon of Zanzibar.
Oh my god. No. I hate all of that.
So I've seen pictures of this thing that, like, oh my god, it's horrifying. It's like a cyclops albino bat boy.
Ew. Oh my god.
Yeah, and so he typically visits homesteads at night, but has been seen during the daytime. Every time he shows up, there's a sulfur odor in the air.
So gas.
And he's been known to attack men, women, and entire families.
Oh my god.
Before passing to another house within the neighborhood.
He's not picky.
In nocturnal attacks, he comprises mostly of simple physical assaults or, the most feared, sodomy.
Oh my god.
Victims are often urged to tell others that they have been assaulted, and they're threatened that with repeat visits by Popobawa if they don't tell other people what happened to them.
Make sure you tell your friends. Oh, oh my god, I couldn't finish that one.
So yeah. This thing's going back to the first inclinations of it. The first stories of it came about, like, they became popularized in the 70s because an angry sheik had released a djinn to take vengeance on his neighbors.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
and this
god.
Thing, the djinn created Popobawa.
Oh my god.
He's just like, hey, here's this thing. It'll be a lot easier than doing it myself.
So, in all actuality, it's probably more of social construction of the horrors of the slave trade that went through there.
Yeah.
And so, but this thing is very much a fear of the people of Tanzania. Ooh. And so, watch out for this skeptic raping demon of Zanzibar.
So, on that. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I have, since we're on poltergeists.
Yeah.
It kind of plays into the Bell Witch thing.
Yeah.
Real quick, the one that I found in my research of, oh god, Popobawa is awful. So when I was doing research for this topic, one of the ones I found that I actually could talk about on the air, because it wasn't.
Yeah. I just want, before you go ahead, Hannah, I just wanted to say we did a lot of painstaking research, if only to find stories that we are allowed to say on the air when we talk about this.
So this article that I found is titled Granny Groping Ghost.
Say that five times fast.
So it's about a British woman who claims that she's been touched and groped by an unseen presence at night.
Oh my
and
God.
Suspects a poltergeist. She's
Hubba Hubba Hotep.
She's a grandmother. So, like, she's not like just some, you know, amethyst
realm.
Aww.
But she, she said it's like an octopus.
Oh my god.
It started 4 months ago. She was lying in bed and felt this pair of hands on her. And she, like, kicked frequently, like, frantically, and it went away. but then it came back. And she's done all of this stuff thinking that maybe it was like her bedding or her sheets or her nightgown or something. Yeah. And so she's like gotten rid of all of her blankets and replaced them and gotten rid of her mattress and replaced it.
And now she just sleeps nude in a hammock in the living room.
She just she just stands like a like a penguin. Just all so right.
She hired a team of psychic ghost hunters.
Oh my God.
Who suggested that she was plagued by the ghost of a sexual pervert who may have assaulted women in years past. And even death could not stop. And I quote, the serial groper and his spirit from getting thrills touching this grandmother while she sleeps.
Oh my God, this poor old thing. Like, you can't really talk about that your problems like that over Pinochle, really.
Right? Well, you have to, or a Popo Bow will show back up.
My grandson doesn't really call me. Well, you know, count yourself lucky, Dolores. She's just smoking a cigarette. Like, let me tell you what happened.
I just thought that was a really funny one because not funny. Like, I hope that whatever is happening to this lady gets resolved.
Right.
But funny in the sense of she's an older lady. And most of these hauntings type stuff happen to generally younger people.
Yeah, yeah, that's fairly uncommon. It's just specifically this one lady he's hung up on.
It's so, probably her husband. Like, just being a jerk.
Hey, baby. So, we were talking that both of those are actually fairly similar stories to the Bell Witch. If you guys aren't familiar with the Bell Witch, it was actually this really scary thing that happened in the early 1800s. Andrew Jackson actually was reported to actually go and investigate it when he was still in the military. In 1817, the patriarch of the family, John Bell, saw a dog with a rabbit's head. Didn't have a rabbit's head in its mouth. He had a rabbit head instead of a dog's head. He chased it off, never saw it again, and that kicked off all of the scary stuff that started happening. Everybody was getting pushed across the room. All of the windows would randomly fly open. People were getting groped and touched on, and horrible, super disgusting things were being screamed in people's ears, all this stuff.
She can't repeat it on the podcast.
I know.
Colin Waters did not repeat anything that the spirit said. The worst one that
John Waters would have.
The worst one that got the one that got the worst of it was the eldest daughter of the Bell family, Betsy. This poor woman.
Still Betsy Bell. God, he kills me.
Betsy Bell. This poor girl. I believe she was about 16 or 17 when this started happening. It would just lock itself in her room and just make her life a living hell. It would just slap her in the face. It would rip her nightgown. It would tear her entire room apart. It would scream horrible things in her ear. It would touch on her, all kinds of terrible stuff. That's not as horrible as that is. That's not the worst part. The worst part is her family. She would like scream for help. Somebody please help me. Somebody please help me. And her family would just kind of be like, well, at least it's not happening to us tonight. So let's just let it be in her room and just ignore her. And hope it goes away. So for years after, so this went on for a long time, and then out of nowhere it just reportedly screamed throughout the entire house, I am done dealing with Betsy. I am now going to plague the entire existence of the patriarch John Bell for the rest of his days. And it did. It would push him in. It would scream horrible things in the cornfield. It would push him into dangerous situations. It would like push him in front of farming equipment, all kinds of stuff. And he was so exhausted. He was so distressed all the time that he went to his family and was like, I don't think I'm going to last much longer if this happens. And he did die a couple months later. And then he died and it kind of calmed down. And then Betsy went off and married somebody and it started up again. And the rest of her life, everybody would ask her, like, what about the ghost? What's happening? And she's like, yeah, he kind of shows up every now and then. But, you know, you make do. And that was the end of the Bell Witch. That's it.
It's really anticlimactic.
Like, right?
So
he dies.
There's an interesting little bit in this when Andrew Jackson went
yeah.
to to check it out. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you're president. What else you got to get? You know, there wasn't as many golf courses. So in the middle of a thing, there was a deal with the horses, and the horses were being scared by the disembodied female voice. Mm-hmm. And Jackson was like, yep, there it is. Like, that's the Bell Witch.
Yeah.
And one of the men with him in his group claimed to be a witch tamer.
Oh.
I didn't know that was a job description, but apparently
a witch tamer.
After so this guy comes forward and nothing happens. Everything mm-hmm. goes silent. After several uneventful hours, he pulled out a shiny pistol and proclaimed that its silver bullet would kill any evil spirit that came in contact with. He then went on to say that the reason nothing was happening to them right now was because he had scared the spirit with his gun. Immediately after saying this, the man screamed and began jerking around as his body was being pulled in different directions, and he said he was being struck with pins and beaten severely. He spun around and then was swiftly kicked in the ass out the front door of their house.
Don't taunt the spirits, guys.
Take that, gunslinger. Get out.
The last type of ghost that we're going to be discussing today is the boyfriends and girlfriends. That's the more modern reports that we get of people saying, I'm married to a ghost, I'm divorcing a ghost, I'm dating ghosts, all kinds of stuff. These are entities that know they are dead, can travel from Australia to England, and can move around as they please.
Inter-paranormal relationships.
Inter-paranormal relationships.
I'm going to start a dating website.
Do it. Oh, my God, please. They develop relationships and even marry living people. Most of the time, it doesn't work out, though. Shocker. Because almost exclusively... the reports of why it doesn't work out with these spirits, either they just leave or people will have them leave, banish them in a way, because there's little to no emotional connection with these spirits. It's all just purely physical, and these people need more than that in the living realm.
It's hard to have a shoulder to cry on when you don't have a shoulder.
Well, we all know that just any relationship based on something purely physical isn't going to work unless the ghost is willing to chill with you on the couch, you know, and binge some Netflix and maybe eat a frozen burrito, whatever, you know, and just, you know, let his sheets get fat with you. Like, that's, it's not going to happen. Like, you just, that's not, there's no longevity in that.
Is that Netflix and haunt?
Where does the frozen burrito go?
You don't want to know. That's where ectoplasm comes from.
Ew.
Dude, I'm just picturing this burrito floating next to a woman's head, and like a bite is taken out of it and then masticated, and then it just falls on the couch and she's got to clean it up. Aww. Like, maybe she sets a plate under where he would sit.
Yeah, I'd break up with that guy too. So... So,
you would.
I would. You know who else I'd break up with? It's time for the Reptilian Report, everybody! The segment of the show where I out a lizard person and tell you why they're a lizard person. This week, we're going to be talking about a personal hero of mine. We're going to be talking about the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Jerry Springer.
Senator Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
Captain Jack Sparrow.
So we're going to get into Captain Jack Sparrow in a little bit. But one lady actually married a 300-year-old pirate named Jack. So
Jesus God.
So we actually talked about Jerry Springer an episode or two ago. He actually recently turned 75. And in my own independent research, I looked up a couple things about it. I'm like, oh no, this guy's a lizard person. So fun fact, he is actually... English. He's London born, and he has a daughter named Katie. That's not why I think he's a lizard person. I just thought those things were interesting. Shut up. I like it.
I love that you tell silence to shut up all the time.
The reasons why I think he is a lizard person. One instance in, I believe, the late 90s, he actually did a part-time job after the Jerry Springer's show started taking off at WMAQ, a Chicago-based news station. The two main news anchors actually quit their jobs because they refused to share airtime with him. Their public stance was, you know, he has no integrity, he's nothing but trash for the television medium, da-da-da, he's all this stuff. What I think happened is I think he, whether it by accident or on purpose, showed these two anchors him without his skin suit and revealed his lizardy form to them and were like, no, we're out, dude. I'm scared this guy is going to eat me.
I still maintain he might just be really unlikable. But continue.
He's so nice. Shut up. So,
I don't know. I'm with you because I'm getting this. And again, yeah. I maintain that not only is he a reptilian, but
right.
his reptilian cohort, Steve Ditka. What's his name? Steve
Wilkos.
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 Yeah.
Steve. So I like trash reality television. I'm sorry.
So really? Tell me more.
I don't have any vices. All right. I just. My one vice is trash reality TV.
Oh my God.
So one of my main vices is trash reality TV. All right. So Hannah, you're not exactly sold on the two anchors quitting when he got on the station. Can we talk about how the entire Jerry Springer empire was targeted and investigated by the American government?
Okay.
Education Secretary William Bennett and Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman tried their damnedest to get the show canceled. Now, so they went on a full campaign and investigation.
If there's anybody in the government trying to eradicate reptilians and their involvement in American politics and American culture, it would have to be Joe Lieberman. Like, I can't see... I kind of want that to be a comic now. Joe Lieberman versus the X-Files.
He's just the thankless hero.
Yeah.
Against
he's
the
just out there
people.
doing it for all of us. Thanks, Joe.
So I have two theories on the identity of Mr. Springer. One thing is there's absolutely, whether you watch the show or you don't, there's absolutely no question that extended periods of watching Jerry Springer makes you dumber. So, I believe that Jerry Springer is either using reptilian technology to hypnotize humans into being less intelligent and more debaucherous and trashy, which makes lower middle class humans easier to manipulate and control.
And his ghosts, like, well, where I'm at. His guests are disposable white trash that nobody's going to miss, and so he can eat them afterwards.
Exactly. Do you ever hear about anybody?
I kind of believe this now.
Right?
Right?
Kind of
what better way to give yourself a constant influx of food and make general population dumb as in one foul swoop?
Yep.
I love it. I am a big fan.
So my other theory, which Corey and I talked about previously, is I believe that he is a lizard person anthropologist who is just absolutely fascinated by human culture, and his pet project is just the trashiest and worst of humanity.
I was going to say, which he picked the wrong subset to study.
But no. Oh, come on.
You got to, let's think about it for a second. You know, Jane Goodall was watching the really weird monkeys.
Like, yeah, come on.
That guy's interesting. But seriously, look at this. That guy's just throwing fruit at a bat. Like, why is he doing that? Oh, now he's got the bat. He's eating the bat. Now another monkey is fighting him.
Exactly.
It's the exact same thing.
Yeah,
that's
no,
fair. That's actually really
fair. I mean, that's what I would do if I was a lizard person anthropologist, honestly. I would just want to see the trashy ones.
I vote you're right on this one.
I know.
I will concede that Mr. Springer is in fact a reptilian.
What do you think, Travis?
I think if it's true, I have to salute him for making the world better by taking away trailer trash,
disposing of, and that is why Dr. Phil isn't.
You shut your mouth.
No, listen.
No,
Dr. Phil is not a lizard person, and here's why. because he didn't eat the Catch Me Outside girl.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Because Springer would have feasted.
Yeah.
So Jerry.
Yeah. Better. Do you think dumber brains are more tender?
Yeah. They're like veal. Yeah. They haven't been used.
Oh, no, I'm sad. I hear you got some news for me, Corey.
I got a bit of weirdness for everybody this week. So this week in weird, we've got some interesting stories. The first one being out of the University of Science and Technology, China.
China.
Oh, Jesus.
That's never going away.
Oh, God. A scientist by the name of Tian Zhu has been injecting nanoparticles into the eyes of mice, giving them infrared vision. Now, what the mice are going to do with infrared vision, I'm not 100% sure, other than turn into predator.
Look at things infraredly?
Well,
that's not.
I don't think they don't have a choice in that now. But they're talking about human testing coming soon.
I volunteer as tribute. Please give me infrared vision.
No thanks.
Yeah, I get really confused watching.
Only
predators,
if I can see through walls with it.
You can. How can you see through?
Can I see heat signatures through walls? That's.
I don't know. I don't know. How many nanos can you fit in your eye?
I don't know. Human eyes are pretty big. I can probably fit a bit.
Yeah, probably more than a mouse could.
Let's not go to China, but let's have him on the show.
So, because we're doing a ghost episode, I had to find a good ghost story this week.
All right.
Medellin, Colombia.
Okay.
The destruction of Pablo Escobar's former house.
What?
Yes. So, a team of people, a team of construction workers were demoing. Mm-hmm. His old mansion.
Mm-hmm. That never ends well.
And right before the explosions go off, you can see a fat white figure running around in the living room, like manically.
Pablo's just like
the ghost of Pablo Escobar was all mad because they blew up his house. Suck it, Cocaine King.
Is he the one that had the illegal zoo?
Yeah, that's why there are hippos on that island. Yeah.
So are we sure that it was a man running around?
Colombia is not an island.
That's something from his illegal zoo.
Yeah. Oh, no, there's video of it.
Really?
Yeah, so you can watch this demolition video, and right before, you'll hear, air raid sirens go off, right before the demolition, and that's when there's this big open bay window, and you can just see it,
Oh, that's so scary.
Running around, and then...
I'm just imagining him, trying to grab things, but he just keeps, phasing through them.
Well, I'm pretty sure they would have taken everything out before they blew it up.
I'm just saying.
But in his world, if it's an echo,
Yeah.
He's, oh God, just coked out. Yeah.
Where's my stuff?
Senator Harry Reid of Nevada wants X-files of UFO studies from the Pentagon released to the public.
Call me Harry. I'll see what I can do.
I want to believe.
So apparently Harry Reid was involved in a Pentagon project that was investigating UFO interaction with military things, different planes, flybys on aircraft carriers and things like that, where multiple people saw unexplained phenomenon. And there's a huge 4-year study from 2011 to 2015, and they won't release any of the papers. And Harry's read them, and he's like, no, the people need to know this, and they won't do it. So he's fighting pretty hard for that. So go get them, Harry.
If you need me to sign something, I don't care. I will. Yep. Whatever you need, buddy.
One little quick one that I wanted to fit in real fast. Bam. Uh-oh. I went to the wrong spot. There we go. A grandmother from Texas took a trip to Iceland.
Okay.
While in Iceland, she visited something that's kind of a tourist attraction there known as Diamond Beach.
Okay.
And while they're there, she sees a bunch of other tourists taking photos on this glacial piece of ice that looks like a throne. Mm-hmm. And so people were taking their sitting on it and taking their pictures and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And so she goes off and sits down on the throne to get her little picture taken. Mm-hmm. In comes in a giant wave, picks it up, and drags her and the ice throne out to sea.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Smile, Grandma.
And so there's lots of pictures, like, of her sitting there and then the wave coming in and... it going up and her just kind of floating away, and she looks just serene. It's like, yep, this is how it ends. I just float off and, you know, Jack and Rose it. And
what a way to go.
But another tourist, one of the guys who had been taking pictures of someone else,
yeah,
dropped all his stuff, jumped in the water, ran out there and got her off the thing. It's not like it was moving real fast, but right, she got swept out to sea on an ice throne. That makes her Cersei Lannister.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, that is some epic level quest starting stuff.
Yeah, right?
Like suddenly the throne of ice you're sitting on gets swept out to sea. And then the music begins.
And then, hands down, my personal favorite story of the week, Sky Whale!
Sky Whale!
It reports of and pictures, photographic evidence, a whale, a humpback whale, was found in the jungle in the Amazon. It was a juvenile whale brought, it's pretty much suspected that it got hucked via tsunami, mm-hmm, type of thing.
Yeah.
Where it was just, you know, sharknadoed out into the jungle. And it laid there dead for a few days before it was discovered.
Oh, wow.
And this is the most interesting part of it. No carrion eaters, no predators, no nothing had made a mark on this thing.
They just refused to touch
it. They wouldn't go near it.
Which is the weirdest part to me. Because, like, in the article, it's not super far from shore. I mean, it's far enough that it needed to be pushed by a storm, clearly.
So it's 58 feet long itself.
Yeah.
And it's still 50 feet in from the ocean.
Yeah.
Like, into the jungle.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was in the trees, like, and just chilling. Yeah. Oh, why do we think that... So why didn't the animals touch it? Just...
Because it's a petunia.
We don't. I mean, there's a lot of
arguments that could be made for, you know, pollution and that kind of stuff, and just animals are smarter than we give them.
They just walked up, smelled it, and like, that smells smells like straws, like plastic straws.
Save the turtles, everyone.
But I don't know. It's weird. Maybe the aliens brought it, and it's an alien sky whale.
And they just
it would have been created out of thin air by the presence of the Heart of Gold.
We get it. You like Hitchhiker's Guide. Right. I understand.
No, it's the only possible explanation.
It didn't say thank you for the fish.
Well, that was dolphins.
I know.
There's a difference between whales and dolphins.
Tell me more.
Vividly. What? What do you mean, Katie?
I'm just going to keep slapping her with that one over and over and over.
I think that about wraps it up, guys. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for being here. And thank you, Miss Lady. And thank you, listeners. Join us next week when we use a Ouija board to contact Macho Man Randy Savage and ask the proper way to snap into a Slim Jim.
Oh, yeah.
Next week on the Underground Files.
You've been listening to AU Radio Underground Files. Music is provided by Cubby, PurplePlanet.com, and Bensound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio Podcast is a production of Adventures Underground, copyright 2018, all rights reserved.
Like to contact the show, follow us on Twitter at AU_radio, Facebook at AU Radio Podcast, Instagram at AU.radio, or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the shows on AU Radio by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Network. Find us on Patreon as AU Radio at Adventures Underground. You can help us create this podcast and soon several others with as little as $1 a month. Thanks for listening.